Chapter 7. In the Underground. My next job was to see my lawyer, Saul. He's an old friend of mine, and he knows all about my financial situation and my travels. "What has happened to you?" he asked when he saw the enormous bandage on my head. "Don't worry," I replied, "I'm all right, and this bandage is much bigger than it needs to be. Tell me, has anyone been looking for me?" "Yes, I think so," said Saul. "A man came in to consult with me about a personal legal matter." That was what he said, but his appearance didn't convince me. He told me that he was a friend and neighbour of yours, and he mentioned your name several times. He was tall and blonde and had a moustache. He said his name was Major Quive Smith. Have you ever heard of him?" "No, never. And he certainly isn't a neighbour of mine," I replied. "Was he English?" "Yes, I think he was," said Saul. "Did you expect him not to be English?" This was Saul's way of telling me that he guessed that I had been in trouble abroad. He then asked me whether I had been sent there on a mission for the British government. "No, I haven't, but it's important for me to disappear," I answered. "Can you continue to take care of my affairs for me?" "As long as I know that you're alive," Saul replied. "A postcard this time next year will be enough. Make sure it's in your own handwriting." "All right," I said. "And now I need £5,000. I had £3,000 in the bank. Saul wrote me a cheque for the remaining £2,000 without asking any more questions. Saul suggested that we go out for lunch, but I said that I suspected that I was being followed and didn't want the danger of being seen outside. He then called in one of his assistants, a man called Peel. "Is anyone watching us, Peel?" he asked.
"Well, two or three people have been noticed," said Peel. "One of them has come to the park near here every day for a week to feed the birds. I also heard from one of the other assistants that they saw another man waiting in the street and that he and the bird man had a conversation."
Saul thanked Peel for the information and sent him out to bring us some beer and a cold chicken. After our meal, I took my money and left. Peel walked part of the way with me, and I observed that I was being followed by a tall man in a dirty raincoat and a black hat. Peel told me that this was the man who had been feeding the birds in the park. Peel also saw another man, who he immediately recognised as Major Quive Smith. I now knew that these two men at least were following me, and that I would have to escape from them. Peel and I parted at the nearest underground station, and I bought a ticket with which I could travel to the furthest parts of London. The birdman had got ahead of me. I passed him on the level of the Central London line and went down the escalator to the platform where the Piccadilly train came in. 10 seconds after I reached the platform, Major Quive Smith also appeared on it, looking at the advertisements on the wall. I pretended that I had forgotten something and ran out of the exit, up the stairs and down a corridor to another platform. But the Major had followed me and was now close behind me. For several minutes, the two men pursued me through the station. I had to push my way through crowds of passengers and run up and down the escalators several times. I finally jumped into a train going towards Piccadilly, with the Major so far behind me that he had to enter another coach just as the doors were closing, and just as I came out of the train again. In this way, I managed to lose the Major, who had apparently stayed on the train and continued his journey. I then jumped onto a train going in the direction of Aldwych Station and sat down at the front of the coach. To my horror, I saw that the birdman was sitting in the same coach at the back. He had evidently guessed what my next move would be. There is no way of leaving Aldwych Station except by the lift or the emergency staircase. No trains go through it to any other destination. When the train stopped, I jumped onto the platform, ran round a corner and up a few stairs, but instead of continuing, I hid in a dark corner. As I had hoped, the birdman ran past me towards the emergency staircase. I ran back to the platform. The train was still there, but if I could get onto it, then so could the birdman, who couldn't be more than 5 seconds behind me. I jumped onto the line and hid in the tunnel. The birdman looked through the coach and saw that I wasn't in it. The train left, and there was absolute silence. I hadn't realised that the birdman and I would be left alone more than 30 metres below London. I pressed myself flat against the wall in the darkest section of the tunnel. When the train leaves Aldwych, the station is deserted. You can hear the drip of water and the beating of your heart. I can still hear this, and the sound of footsteps and his scream. It was self-defence. He had a torch and a pistol. I don't know if it was his intention to shoot me. Perhaps he was just as frightened of me as I was of him. I crawled right to his feet and jumped on him, and he fell onto the electric rails. I took the bandage from my head and put it in my pocket. It would attract too much attention. Then I left the station, free, unwatched, and unhurried. I had dinner in a quiet restaurant, and then went to a cinema to think.